much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And action, Jack.
Are you, how's your audio? Is everything all right there? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep, we're good.
5, 6, 7, 8.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Coming up next, the man who has the distinction of coming in last on our first show with his second chance to redeem himself before tomorrow's elimination. Can he prove he should stay in the game? Radio personality Mike Catherwood and his partner, Lacey Schwimmer.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. If I want to stick around on Dancing with the Stars, I have no choice but to do a lot better this week.
It's jive or die time. This week, main motivating factors: explode Len in Bruno's face with my fiery dance moves.
I think it's not just out my nose.
And now.
Motorboating.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 13th of February.
Remember the Mike Catherwood on Dancing with the Stars days?
Sure do.
I went down to watch him work out one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. When he's trying to learn to dance.
Yeah.
And it's, listening.
It's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
The people who do it well make it look super easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, man, he was struggling.
Who was worse on Dancing with the Stars, Mike or Adam Carolla? I feel like Mike was better than Carolla.
I think so, too.
But I think they also both got eliminated pretty early.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird seeing Mike up there doing a tango on national TV.
Yeah.
you don't ever expect to see your friend in that situation. Allie, how'd you do with the rain last night?
Oh, it was touch and go for a minute, but yeah. I hunkered down and good. I made it through. Thank you for asking, though.
Good.
Thank
I was
you.
Worried about you. I saw the all caps bulletin and I thought, uh-oh, it's on.
I needed people to know that we're in the path of destruction.
Well,
that
I was praying
coming.
For you.
Thank you.
I was giving sending thoughts and prayers.
I'm sorry, what destruction?
The rain.
It like got, the a stuff lot of got the, wet for a
yeah,
while.
The gutters, like you would see leaves going down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was, whew.
Wow, killed those leaves,
good
man.
Thing I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Oof. You missed it? You were inside the whole time you didn't see any of it? Oh, it was brutal, man.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure everyone's been accounted for, to tell you the truth. Storm like that.
Oof.
Now, are you past it?
We're going to have some off and on showers today.
Ooh. Just to remind us, like, who's boss.
Right?
Right.
Like, you thought you made it.
Uh-huh.
Not so.
There's a little rain. We're still in charge.
Right.
Well, I'm very impressed that you guys came in.
Thank you.
Knowing that you may have to go home through some of that.
Thank you.
I mean, hey, I am leaving at 8, just to make sure, but
just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
No one can blame you.
Right.
Kevin, this you'll know this story, but not all of us subscribe to the bulletins from the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention.
Right.
But for the rest of us, 28-year-old Abby Beckley's story has been told. She is from Grants Pass, Oregon. She grew up on a ranch in Brookings, Oregon. She loves cattle and horses. She loves the outdoors. She loves to travel. So she decided to jump at a chance to combine the two by working on a commercial salmon fishing boat in Craig, Alaska. A couple weeks into the job, the symptoms started. My left eye, she said, got really irritated and red. My eyelid was droopy. I was getting migraines, too. I was like, what's going on? She had been suffering for 5 days when the ship finally returned to port. She found a good mirror. Not yet. She found a good mirror. Not yet. Okay. She found a good mirror and looked closely into her eye, never expecting what she would find. What do you guys think Becky found in her eye?
A tiger?
Is it a tiger?
No, I'm sorry, it is not a tiger.
She was on a fishing boat, a hook.
A hook is a great guess.
It is.
I pulled down the bottom of my eye and noticed that my skin looked weird there, so I put my fingers in with a sort of plucking motion, and a worm came out.
Doing these kinds of stories. Everything having to do with a worm, Bean's all in.
Really,
I was just in shock, she said. I ran into my crewmate Allison's room and I said, I need you to see this. I just pulled a worm out of my eye. I won't go into as much detail as all
Thank
the articles
you.
I read on this topic did yesterday.
How many articles did you read?
It's so
enough.
It's unbelievable, you guys. They went to a local doctor and an ophthalmologist, and it was determined that she had worms in her eyes, and eventually she pulled 14 of them out of her
no.
eyes.
Oh, my God.
No, the doctor no. said she had never seen anything like this. You could see them moving across my eye at one point. There were just so many. And this it just goes on and on and on, and it turns out that it had nothing to do with the fishing trip. This is the first time that this particular worm has been found in a human's eye, and it is thought to have come from cows back home. Parasitic eye worms.
It had nothing to do with the fishing.
Exactly.
I thought
nothing
that's
to do with the fishing.
What it was all about. Okay.
They somehow got into her eye, and then somebody laid eggs in her eye while she was gone. Parasitic eye worms are common among dogs, cats, pigs, sheep, goats, cattle, and wild carnivores like foxes and wolves. So that's what was going on with her. What's that?
She's just lucky.
Is she lucky?
Yeah.
Hmm.
If it never really happens to a human.
It does. So she's the first time it's ever happened to a human that they that they know of. They know of. But 14 different worms they ended up pulling out, or she ended up pulling out.
Holy
of her
okay. crap.
I don't want to know.
Then don't ask.
How big were these worms?
They're tiny.
Okay.
They're tiny. If you put it on, like there's pictures of it on her finger, and mm-hmm. they, I don't know, they just look like, you know, like an like eye booger or something.
Okay. Like a piece of rice.
Like no, bigger grain. Than that.
Okay.
A little bigger than that, yeah. But you still don't want them on your eye.
I don't.
I don't think. She was terrified, by the way, that they were going to, you know, be in her, get into her brain or something like
sure.
that.
Yeah.
Bad things would happen. But apparently they just live on the eye. So anyway, so I don't know what the takeaway is here.
Don't do that.
Except.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck. Good
get
luck
worms.
With that.
Yeah.
I mean, if the rain doesn't kill you, the worms will, I guess.
Right.
Right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You look at that and it's really very, very sad.
Right. You were surprised by something in your luggage today. This happens all the time. And you sometimes at an airport, they'll have a bin of mm-hmm. stuff that they've collected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane.
Yeah.
It is. The number of knives and chainsaws. Probably no chainsaws.
Tigers?
Tigers.
Tigers, right. Maybe tigers. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, well, some people have other people help them pack. Maybe
right.
that's part of it. And some people, they just rotate their suitcase, like they just pull a suitcase out and dump a bunch of new stuff in to take with them and don't really go through and see what was in it from the last time it was used. And, you know, things get stuck in various compartments that they forget about.
But there was like an old grenade at one place that I saw. And I was
yeah.
thinking
like,
to myself,
why would you
wow.
ever need to have a grenade
right?
in a luggage? I don't know.
Why? I was supposed to keep the grenade at home.
Yeah.
I don't understand that necessarily.
I pride myself, and Kevin, I bet you do too, of knowing, of being the guy who's never going to make the alarm go off when you go through the scanner. Like, I am convinced every time I go in that I've already checked to make sure I don't have my sunglasses, I don't have my keys, I don't have my wallet.
Yeah, I do
I don't
that
have
too.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know what shoes I'm wearing. I know what belt I'm wearing. I am not going to ding when I go through there. And I always am pretty pleased with myself when that happens.
Hold. Yeah.
So, you're pretty pleased with yourself.
Well, I am
when you go through and it doesn't set off.
Right, because I'm not holding up the line. I like to be the guy who doesn't hold up the line.
Right.
Behind me. So I feel like mission accomplished if I go through and they just, you know, wave me on by.
And then you turn around and go, suck it! People in line.
Arms up in the air like Rocky.
I'm just saying, maybe.
Look, I have very few accomplishments.
Right. That's not one.
I've got to celebrate the ones that I do.
Okay.
I get taken out of line every time for no reason.
What?
But then they wand me. It happened on the way to New York.
Huh.
Yeah, and they wanted
Why
me.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure, but the woman did not know her strength.
Uh-oh.
The woman that set me to the side, and then she started patting me down,
mm-hmm.
and I was just turned, and she started patting my back,
right.
but she patted so hard that my face went right into the plexiglass wall in front of me.
I would give anything for that video.
Amazing, and I started laughing, and she was mortified. Then some lady to my right was like, you're right. It was awesome.
That's pretty
That's
strong.
Weird. There must be some reason why they see you and think she needs additional screen.
I think it's my bionic vagina.
Okay.
But
I
I'm
see.
Not positive.
Okay. We also have the Bachelor Report coming up today. Curling is done. We'll talk about that.
Curling is not done, by the way.
Have you watched it?
Yes.
Okay.
Look.
Kevin, I caught the Olympic fever last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was
I
it
got
Chloe?
It.
What were you watching?
It's Chloe Kim and it's Shaun White
the
doing Shaun White things.
Green. Yeah. I mean, getting the gold medal.
Getting
yeah.
the gold.
And Shaun White, unbelievable last night.
Qualifying. Yes. Two of the highest qualifying runs ever.
He throws down a 93, and then everybody's like, well, that's good enough for him to be number one.
Right.
And then two other people beat it, and he goes, all right, I'll just get a 98 then.
Right.
If that's what you guys want, that's what I'm going to do.
Old man White.
And Chloe had a 98 also.
So
17.
Good. 17. Yeah.
She's 17 years old.
Just tweeting about how hungry she is during competition.
And also comedian Eddie Ift will join us today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
30 Seconds to Mars and Walk the Moon together. One show, July 19th. Got it for you, 9 a.m. this morning, also throughout the day on K-Rock at noon, 3 and 6. And every time you win those local tickets, you qualify to see them at Madison Square Garden on June 20th, which, by the way, is before the July 19th show. So you get the grand prize before you get the original prize.
All right.
Interesting to me. Anyway, that includes round trip, airfare, and hotel. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win coming up at 9 this morning. Hey, Ali, what's happening?
Bean, is today the greatest day of your life?
Is today the greatest day of my life? I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I can't wait for goddamn Mardi Gras to be over.
Well, that's number one. Today is Fat Tuesday, so it's you see the finish line right in front of you, right?
So it is so noisy in my... Because I live four blocks from St. Charles Avenue, which is where the parades all go by.
Oh, I would die there.
And it is marching bands day and night, you guys. Fireworks... It's crazy.
Well, it's coming to an end.
To the other side, to the French Quarter. That's where you need to go, B.
You know me well. All right, it's coming to an end. Yes, it is this afternoon, right?
A couple hurricanes and you're good.
Okay, so that's number one, why your life is great.
All right.
Number two, it's World Radio Day.
It certainly is.
Right?
Right.
Yeah!
Not only did I know that was today, I didn't know it was a thing ever.
Did you hear him perk right up?
Oh, yeah.
I've been reading all about it already today.
What do you do on World Radio Day? How do you celebrate?
Nothing. Okay. I mean, I just, look, I'm doing a radio show. That's what I'm doing on World Radio Day.
Okay. And although National Pancake Day is Sunday, March 4th this year.
Right.
Today is International Pancake Day.
Oh.
So, I mean, you could celebrate with, like, your friends in England, Bean. You could call them and be like, what are you eating?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a party.
I mean,
that's a lot going on.
It's a lot of beanness on it one is. Day.
I don't hate it.
I really like it.
Thank you for the acknowledgement.
You're welcome, Bean. Metallica frontman James Hetfield hitting the big screen in a dramatic role.
Is that right?
What is happening? The Hollywood Reporter says he's going to be playing the Utah Highway Patrolman who first arrested serial killer Ted Bundy in 1975. This is the movie that Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy.
Right.
It's called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. So that's going to be exciting, seeing him up there, right?
How about that?
Yeah.
This is more great Bean news, because you know how I love my sweet Zach. And Ted Bundy is my favorite serial killer. So there's a lot going on.
I'm sorry. What?
I mean, how do you have a favorite?
How do you have a favorite?
Yeah. Because he used the post office a lot.
No.
Because he drove a Volkswagen?
He's got to be something.
He's handsome.
I take it back.
Okay, good.
I'm more of a...
Oh, he's changing it up. He's not changing. Saying it was wrong for having a favorite. It was incorrect. Who's your favorite?
The wrong choice.
Why is it...
Because most of us don't have a favorite serial killer.
Right.
Most of us look at all of them as horrific people.
Yeah. They are. They're terrible people. And that's why I take it back. That's why I shouldn't have said anything.
Who was the other choice? Now
I was going to say John Wayne Gacy. But you know what? The truth is they're all bad guys.
They really are.
And but that doesn't mean the movie can't be good.
Whose art do you have in your house?
Maybe John Wayne Gacy. But that's that's not the point. We're off topic.
Got John Wayne Gacy.
The point is that...
Painting.
The movie sounds good.
In his house. Yeah.
All right, Bean, I gave you too much love.
Right?
Let me just bring the hammer down. Taylor Swift is in rehearsals for her upcoming Reputation Stadium tour, and yesterday she posted a pic on Instagram with herself, a bunch of musicians, ton of equipment, and she captioned it, quote, "Rehearsals. I hate her. She's the worst." Bean, rehearsals. That doesn't even make sense.
Look. I wouldn't say it.
Okay.
Can't you also say it was dumb when she said it?
It's the worst.
It may be trying too hard. We get that the album and the tour is called Reputation, but that's a little bit of a stretch to go with rehearsals.
Some birthdays for you. Singer Robbie Williams, actress Mina Suvari, and maybe the greatest man on the planet, Henry Rollins. Who's with me? Chip's with
pretty
me.
Pretty strong, yeah.
That's what's happening.
Comedian Eddie Ift on the program later on today. Always fun. Eddie's the one who always gets us in trouble for something, right?
Yes, always.
Complaints.
Every time.
Says things that we can't put on the air.
100% of the time. Yeah.
That's later this morning on K-Rock. And a quick reminder, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Wednesday show, Muse stops by 7 a.m. They got a new song coming out tomorrow. We'll talk to Muse all about that tomorrow, just after 7, right here on K-Rock. Dave, I'm glad you're here. King of Mexico, our producer.
Hi, guys.
Got this email from a listener. You know, we've been talking lately about how we were apparently shut out of the conversation as to what the station was going to advertise on new billboards in town.
Bean's feelings are so hurt.
Of course they are.
More and more every day.
And they should be, by the way.
Because they didn't advertise us.
Look. If the BBC puts out a documentary on the history of British music and they decide to not include the Beatles, the Beatles go, hey, we're over here too.
So hold
remember
on.
Us?
Yep,
in this
don't.
In this example, we're the Beatles?
We're the Beatles,
Bean.
Yes.
No, come on, we're better than the Beatles.
We're not better than the
you
Beatles.
You guys actually have talent. Come on.
What I'm saying is, look, this is a great radio station that was around long before we came and will be around long after we're done. But we've been holding down the morning show for 30 years.
Sure.
It's not unreasonable for them to put a little Kevin and Bean on some of their billboards.
But you don't need to be butthurt. That's all I'm saying.
Here's my point.
All right.
Since we started talking about it, we've had wonderful reaction from the listeners. God bless our listeners, by the way, because they're the only reason we still have this job. And did you guys see the email from Ryan James down in Long Beach, who has already taken the step of writing on a piece of paper, Kevin and Bean, mornings, Monday through Friday, 106.7 KRA, and putting it up in the window of his apartment.
Very
so
sweet.
Officially, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Ryan, we have a billboard. Yeah.
And so it begins.
I mean, it's really just a piece of notebook paper, but the point is we have a billboard sort of now, right?
By the way, if other listeners took after him, and just it has to be on just a piece of paper, though.
Right.
It can't be any more professional than
no
that.
No poster board.
Right. No markers. Don't be ridiculous.
just write we'd be all over town.
Just write it on a piece of paper and put it up someplace.
So we were saying last week we need to take over a billboard somewhere in Southern California. And then a listener called up and said, you got to get that janky artist. And we're like, oh, my God. So we got Ali Siegel. We got her permission. Do I remember correctly? She said okay to use her artwork.
Yes.
Kevin and Bean artwork, right? And now we're kind of at the point where if we're serious about putting it up on a billboard somewhere, which I think we are, we got to find a billboard. Now, Dave, you did a little recon for us yesterday, and you found at least one location that you think – might make sense.
Yeah, I was driving right by Pico and Sepulveda, and actually Pico and Overland, and there's this old billboard that's only about 10 feet high,
right?
And it's advertising a sale that was about 3 years ago.
See, that's the thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You drive by billboards all the time with outdated information. Like,
yeah.
I guess just no one wanted it since, so they just leave it up.
I mean, it's going into a neighborhood, so I was like, well, that's a pretty good billboard. I don't know why it never got added, but there's a wall behind it, so I think if we jump on the wall and then hop onto the billboard, we might be able to get like a
ski mask middle of the night.
Yeah, it's pretty dark there.
Spray
night
paint,
too. So we might be able to take it over.
Now I have
Can Allie do spray paint? Do you know?
I assume. I mean, she's very talented. I imagine that's one of her mediums.
This question, and maybe we need our listeners' help on this. Somebody owns that billboard.
Yes.
Right? I would assume.
Yes.
Are we trespassing if we go up
a little
there?
Bit.
We are. Okay.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, so is that a problem
but,
for you?
No. But I mean, look, it hasn't been used, and if we bring attention to it, maybe someone be like, yes, that's a good billboard,
that's
and then
the
buy it from them.
We want,
and then we get it for like a couple of days before they take it down. So we're doing them a service by bringing an acknowledgement back to this building.
Yeah. We're doing them a favor.
I love the way your mind works.
Yeah, so then maybe someone will buy.
Dave's logic is the guy who shoplifts and goes, it's so you don't have to count as much inventory.
Right.
I'm doing you a favor, Macy's.
Yeah.
All right, so that's question one is, are we trespassing? Okay, question two is, the people who own that billboard, are they usually like big companies and it's not like they're paying attention to their billboards? It's not like they keep track and get eyes on them all the time. Like, no one's going to notice really that owns the billboard if we put our own stuff up there, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I don't know. It does seem like there's only like two or three companies that own all the billboards.
Yeah, but, that's about right. Yeah.
But I would guess that's good news for us, right?
But I would guess that there are, you know, an a billboard here or there that's owned by somebody. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, what I'm saying is if that billboard that Dave described has been out of date for 3 years, the chances are good that nobody is using that billboard. Nobody cares what's up on that billboard, even the people who own it. So if we put something up there, it's no difference to them,
right.
I imagine.
That's
right?
The point.
We got to do this then.
Right?
I think we got to do this.
I got an idea.
Now, do you love that location, Dave, or should we still be looking for a different or better or safer location?
Oh, we need a better location, but I think that's a good start. I think it's a good trial run for the real one. Like, you know, like
a trial run?
Yeah, like you start at 10 feet. And if we could get it easily, then I think we could go higher. So
I think we have to go higher because of our listeners. If we make it 10 feet, that billboard will change 200 times in the first 2 days.
How do you get – is this billboard the kind of one that we could put a ladder up on or get a cherry picker over to?
Listen,
or
is it 10 feet.
Yeah, I think if you get like Beer Mug and we hop on his shoulders, right. Kevin's like – and then Chip's on Kevin's shoulders,
That's not going to work,
We push Chip up and – yeah.
How many people were in that chain? Because it's only 10 feet and I'm 6 feet tall.
Yeah, then you have Beer Mug.
Beer Mug can just go from my shoulders to the billboard.
Well, we want to make it easy for Chip so she could climb on all your backs like a little monkey.
I can reach the top of the billboard.
Yeah, like a little monkey and then get up there and then put it easily rather than us jumping from the wall to the billboard.
I see.
Yeah. I think I got a plan here,
It's a solid plan.
I think it's a solid plan.
So far, I like it.
Dave has put a lot of thought into that, for sure.
I have billboard feelings.
Do we want our listeners to text us if they've got a better billboard location?
I think so, yeah. Text or tweet or whatever, but include a photo of this billboard.
Yeah, and location.
And the location and what's on it right now, because a lot of times it's something super old. And
yeah,
so,
if it's a Black Panther billboard, we can't do anything
with it
because that's being used.
Right. But if it's old and it's out of date, clearly, it's just no one else has taken it.
Yeah. And again, we'll bring attention to this company's billboard.
Stop it.
So
stop with that.
I think that will work, and I think they will let us off with that.
Oh, hang on a sec. We may have – that's not even the right button. We may have late-breaking news from Jason Santa Fe Springs. He's got something to share with us.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys. First time, long time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to offer up. I turned in a permit to put up a billboard, but it got rejected by the city. So on the street side of my business, but I'm going to put one on the train track side of my business so the commuter train can see it all the time.
Okay, wait, huh? So you already you already asked for a permit?
But they got denied?
For our billboard or for your billboard?
For his.
For my billboard to face the street.
And they said no.
Okay.
They said no.
Okay.
So I'm going to put it up anyway at the back of my property facing the railroad tracks.
I see.
I see. Now, okay, so this is a billboard that you have the rights to then.
I own it 100%.
Wow. This is progress. What train is that?
It's the commuter train that runs back and forth between OC and San Diego and
that
is LA downtown.
That's a ton of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dig it.
All yeah. Right.
How tall is it, dude?
It'll be about 18 feet.
Well, that's a long fall.
I want it to be 18 feet. All right, hold on, Jason. We're going to get all your information, okay?
I think that's fair. Jason, that's very kind of you to offer that. Thank you, sir.
All right, hold on.
Okay, good talk. Look, you're going to get more eyeballs on a billboard like that than in a lot of places on the street.
You guys, did he ever offer it to us, or was he just updating us on his?
I felt like he did.
On his billboard.
Well, listen,
how could they deny him
on his property?
On his own billboard if he owns it.
Know.
His story was starting to fall apart quickly.
Really? Because I was all in.
Jason, and I think we should go along with him.
Jason was just updating us on what was happening with his billboard. And then we're like, thank you so much, Jason.
I'm not saying I'm down with Jason. I'm just saying Jason is the same as we are. He's got a janky situation. As do we.
All right. We have no time for Donnie's call, but I insist because he's in Venice and he's got some information for us as well.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Real quick, tell us what you got to tell us.
All right. So here's the deal. Instead of jumping up there and spray painting and stuff like that, you go to Home Depot, you buy a big white drop cloth, do your artwork on the drop cloth, and then, you know, get a string, throw it up and over, pull the drop cloth up and over. That way you don't have to go up there. It's already pre-done. And you can do a little contest to all the listeners in L.A. and see how many drop cloths start appearing all throughout L.A.
That's not a bad idea.
That's a smart way to mount a billboard, though,
right?
What? Is Kevin by putting the artwork on the cloth. I like it. All right, great information.
You know, and then next thing you know, you guys are even more famous, and the competition would be cute because every artist you know, graffiti artists, they could put their tag on there, too. Wouldn't really get them in trouble because, you know, nobody really knows where that graffiti artist is from because they're all clandestine anyway.
I love it.
It would be
Donnie, I love it.
Yeah. Clandestine.
Dude, maybe Chaka would do one.
I love it.
Yeah, all right, Donnie. What? Chaka? Oh, you can get him out of jail.
Great info, man. Thanks very much. All right, we got to get back to working on this. Thanks, guys.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Bad surprises going through airport security. Something was in your luggage that you forgot about or didn't know about it. Preferably, it was embarrassing. We're going to be telling you some stories and taking your calls coming up just after 7 here on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, what's happening?
Well, Trevor Noah is what's happening. He's going to be at the Pacific Amphitheater on July 14th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. But right now, let's take caller 15 at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah.
Yay!
Yes. July 14th at the Pacific Amphitheater. By the way, show tickets include free admission to the OC Fair.
All right.
All right. Nice.
You can eat some- they all want to be where the action is.
It's true. It's really true. So a story came out before Kendrick Lamar embarked on his European tour last week that you can't bring your phone in.
Right.
No pictures, no video, no nothing.
Same with Jack White.
Apparently that is not true.
Oh.
Top Dog Entertainment just sent a statement to Pitchfork saying they were banning professional photographers from his concert, not banning cell phones. So you can still take your grainy video that you're never going to watch again. However, they will be providing images to media outlets. So I guess they want kind of their own photographer
their own
there
control.
To okay. control his brand. So if you're going to a show, don't worry. You can take some pictures. You okay, Bean?
Sorry.
What happened?
Well, you know, I'm moving my hands around a lot between various devices.
Oh,
and sometimes
God.
Okay. It's a sale Friday, tenant new.
Nope. Not true. So there's a countdown clock on Smashing Pumpkins' website set to expire at noon Eastern on Thursday. So we expect some news then about maybe an upcoming tour, their album, whatnot. But remember all of the drama between their bass player, Darcy? She said, well, I guess I'm not included in the reunion. And
yeah, they didn't tell her anything about it. And then,
no.
Yeah.
So she did a new interview over the weekend saying that Billy Corgan invited her to play in the reunion, but then rescinded his offer. And people were like, what is happening with the Smashing Pumpkins?
So the countdown clock is to when they break up again?
Seriously, what is that clock for? However, the band got together and put out this statement. This is their quote. In reuniting the Smashing Pumpkins, the band's dedication remains to its fans and music. To that, James Iha, Jimmy Chamberlain, and William Corrigan haven't played a show with Darcy Wretzky for over 18 years. But it's not for a lack of trying. Despite reports, Miss Wretzky has repeatedly been invited out to play with the group, participate in demo sessions, or at the very least, meet face-to-face. And in each and every instance, she always deferred. We wish her all the best and look forward to reconnecting with you all very soon.
Tickets on sale Friday, can it do?
Nope. I mean, this is a mess.
This is a mess.
This
agreed.
Is a mess. Right? I mean, who do you believe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Two very different statements.
Right.
You guys. Very nervous about this reunion. This is a mess, Mr. Hasselhoff. I don't know what to think, but I'll keep you updated on that countdown clock because
yes.
it will happen
right.
during our show
okay.
on Thursday, 9 Eastern, because noon Eastern, that means 9 our time.
Right.
Yep.
She just counted.
The day.
She just counted on her fingers.
Sure did.
Yep.
That happened.
Well, math is hard.
Math is hard, you guys. Coming up, I'm going to have a little Olympics update, as well as tell you about Ozzy Osbourne doing something really inappropriate to some deaf listeners at his concert.
Uh-oh.
What? Yeah, really strange stuff. But in the meantime, some birthdays for you. Singer Robbie Williams, Henry Rollins, and actress Mina Suvari. That's what's happening.
Later this hour, on the Kevin and Bean Show, our old friend, the old P, Petros Papadakis, joins us to recap last night's Bachelor. We're getting very close to the end of the season, Kevin.
Yes, we are.
As you well know, I think they're, don't they have the...
It's four left.
Yeah, they have the
hometown dates.
Hometown dates, that's what they're called, yeah. I was never going to come up with that.
I had to lead you through it. It's all
that
right.
That is all coming up this morning on K-Rock.
So King of Mexico and I were going to Vegas, and we got to the airport late, which you really can't now. You know, nowadays you have to get there like a week early. But then...
And that's shocking that you got there late.
Right? It was about 45 minutes. And then we got to the security line, and it was a long line. And they kept telling people at the front of the line, take out anything over, what is it, 4 ounces?
3 ounces.
If you have any kind of liquids, take it out of your carry-on luggage. Take it out. Take out. And Dave and I were like, this is ridiculous, because we were in a hurry. Finally got up to the front. They opened Dave's. He's got 3 bottles of liquor in there.
Oh.
So the whole time we were standing there waiting and watching and yelling about how stupid these people are.
Boy.
He's got 3 bottles of booze in his own luggage and never thought about it.
Not my fault.
Was his fault.
Yeah.
Was his fault.
Was.
Yeah. People, we were talking about this earlier this morning. People sometimes don't realize what's in their bag. Sometimes.
Right, but what was in his bag was what everyone was yelling about in the line in front of us.
Yeah, that would be a good opportunity for you to maybe check yourself, right? I think, by the way, I think it's a very similar thing every time you see somebody wait. You're in a checkout line at the supermarket, and when the bill is presented, that's the first time the person, it ever occurs to the person that they may need to get out their wallet and look for a credit card.
Sure, of course.
People just don't plan ahead sometimes. But there is very special circumstances when you start talking about going through airport security. And a lot of times people are surprised by the things in their luggage. There's a story in the news just this week. And this, what makes this remarkable is this is a father playing this prank on his own son. They're going through the airport in New Orleans, and he does not know that dad has put in a pot of lubrication, is how it's described here in the article, and a 12-inch dildo. So it goes through
dads,
right? Like they do. So it goes through the X-ray, and a female member of a security staff is working the line, and she says, "Sir, I got to open up your bag," and pulls it out.
I need to confiscate this.
The look on his face when he sees what's in his own luggage, and of course, dad is standing right behind him, filming the whole thing and cracking up. Everybody is just cracking up by this. He's like, "You can't!" They made him go out to smoke a cigarette, like right before they got to the airport, so that they could plant that in his bag. So everyone was in on it by the kid, except for the kid. But that's just awesome. So it kind of got us thinking about how many times I bet our listeners have been surprised by something that was in their luggage. Either they didn't put it there or they didn't remember that it was in there.
Yeah, maybe you just grab a bag that you haven't taken in a while and you just throw some stuff in it and you get there and you get to the airport and then they find something in it that's a little disturbing.
Or so maybe you had just committed a murder.
What?
Whoa. This got dark.
Well, Christine has a story.
Christine committed murder?
Yeah. Well, not her.
So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We want to hear your stories of being surprised by something in your luggage going through airport security. 1-800-520-1067. All right, Christine, what's up?
So working at a radio station, you know, record labels come in to pitch their new artists. They have meetings. And one of our old reps, his name is Jeff. He worked at Interscope Records, just happened to be this awesome baker. Like, really, really good. So every time he'd come in, we were like, what are you going to make us next time? And so this one time, he brought in this pie, and it was so good. We all enjoy the pie. Get a call later that day from his coworker saying that Jeff got caught at the airport because he forgot the knife.
He had a giant knife.
Giant knife in his bag. Mm. Now, this pie, I can't remember what it was, a raspberry, cherry, something, but the TSA agent pulls out this giant, like probably 10-inch kitchen knife with all this red stuff on it.
Sweet.
He had to do community service.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
Had to go to court.
Why?
The whole thing. He had
a knife.
Bean?
But that's not a crime.
I think it is some sort of crime.
I don't know how he explains away why he's trying to travel onto an airplane with a 10-inch knife, though. I'll tell you that.
Look, I'm a baker. I don't feel like that would go far.
That's a tough conversation to have with TSA. I'll tell you that.
So I made a pie.
Wow. And he just forgot it was in there.
Yeah, I think he was running to the airport directly from here to go to other meetings and just forgot.
All right, let's squeeze in some phone calls here. Let's start with Kim, who is calling us from Downey. Hi, Kim.
Hi
there. What did you have in your luggage that you forgot about?
Oh, wait, sorry. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. So I go through and I get pulled to the side because, you know, they're doing the extra check. And he's like, I think you have a weapon in here. And I was like, there's like no way I have a weapon in my bag. I'm like the most innocent person ever. And he pulls out two items and puts them in front of me. And in one hand was pepper spray. And in the other hand was a Swiss Army knife. A Swiss Army knife. And he looked at me and he was like, you see this? He like shakes one hand. He's like, no.
Now he's talking to you like you're six.
Oh, yeah. And I was just so embarrassed. I had no idea they were there. They were little gifts that my parents had given me in my stocking for Christmas. I just threw them in my bag, like not even remembering.
And oh, that's funny.
And the funny part was on the way back on my trip home, like the following flight, like 5 days later, I got pulled to the side again. And once again, they're like, I think you have a corkscrew in here. And I was like, there's no way. This has to be a joke. And they pull out an even larger Swiss Army knife that they didn't catch the first time.
What?
And there again. Oh. Yeah.
What are you, some kind of magician? You're pulling out all kinds of stuff out of the bag?
I know. Oh. I was like, there's no way.
Here's a 1968 Beetle. How did that get in here?
Oh, my God. Everyone tells the story because it keeps happening.
I got to tell you, funny. That story shouldn't continue to be told.
Thank you, Kim. Very much. We appreciate it. You know, and once you're at security, remember, you already have checked your bags, if you have any, to check. So it's not like you can take the stuff they pull out, like in Kim's case, her knives, and put them in the checked bag so you can get them home. So you just got to either mail them to yourself or ditch them, I suppose, right?
Yeah, there's usually a giant bin of stuff that they've confiscated.
People just give up on. All right, let's do one more before the break. 1-800-520-1067, line 7, please. We're going down to Newport. We're saying hi to Juan. Remember, it doesn't always have to be dangerous. It can also just be embarrassing. Juan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thank you. You got caught with what at security?
So it wasn't really me. It was my grandpa. I was helping him out, and he had a duffel bag with him, and he had just bought a few things at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, Grandpa, I'll help you out. You know, put all your stuff away so you can go through security. So I opened up his duffel bag, and I was going to put it underneath all his clothes, and apparently the bottom layer of his duffel bag was full of just condoms.
Grandpa! How old was Grandpa?
He's about 81 now, so it was about 5 years ago, yeah.
Wow.
I had no idea my grandpa was getting busy still, you know.
Nice.
Did you at some point go, you're busier than I am? This is
not right. Yeah, well, I was a little jealous. I can go through all those.
Hey, there's no shame in that. I love a man who's 76 and is buying enough condoms to last that long. Like, how long does this dude plan on living? That's awesome.
That's all a weekend, Bean. That's all it was for.
All right.
He's
going
to put in work.
Thank you, Juan. 1-800-520-1067. Your stories of what you found going through airport security when we return on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of Blink 182, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Lori. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for holding on. We're talking about you found something, or they found something, in your luggage while you were trying to go through airport security. It was a surprise to you. What was it?
Well, we were checking our bags, and if they're over a certain weight, they charge more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we had to repack and figure out what was the heaviest things that we packed.
And what was it?
They happened to be a bunch of dildos and vibrators, you know, the batteries and whatnot.
Where were you headed?
Yeah, what kind of weekend was this?
Unbelievable. A bunch of. You used the words a bunch of, right?
I'm sorry?
You used the words a bunch of, right? A bunch of dildos and everything else, batteries?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of them. Okay. A lot. Not just one or two, the strap-on that went with it.
I mean, you got to be prepared.
Did you just bring enough for the whole room? I mean, you're an awesome traveler.
Well, yeah, and you want variety when it comes to
sure,
that,
of course.
Right? Okay. All right. We learned a little something here today about Lori, I think. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-106. Have more of your calls on this topic right after Blink on K-Rock.
All right. Bachelor Report coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. Right now we're talking about going through security at the airport. TSA finds what in your luggage?
Before we get back to your calls, Don writes in, Kevin and Bean, I was flying out of Tijuana to Guadalajara 6 months ago, walked past a huge pile of confiscated items. I told my wife, how stupid can people be? Less than 5 minutes later, they were pulling a full-size pair of scissors
out of my luggage to put in that same pile.
Sweet.
Good times. From the 714, my parents were in the midst of moving. My dad wrapped a box of ammunition in a pair of his jeans. But then, right before a last-minute trip, he decided, hey, I might need to take those jeans with me. While going through the TSA pre-check, he gets pulled into a room, has to speak to airport police about the ammunition they found in his bag. Needless to say, they confiscated it, and he also lost his pre-check status.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess that's part of the deal with TSA pre-check is you're supposed to be a pretty easy passenger to not have to worry about. If you start taking ammo through the line, I think they got some questions.
It seems like it's a red flag.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, my screen just vanished. Why don't you pick one?
All right, let's start with Wendy in Southgate. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, good morning, all.
Good morning. So you're at the airport, and security pointed out that you had what in your bag?
I had a penis-shaped lighter.
A penis-shaped lighter.
Hmm. Yes, and it wasn't plastic. It was metal. I was surprised, though, that the L.A. airport didn't catch it. I was running out of Vegas, and they screened it, and they said, there's something in it. And I was like, no, there's nothing in there. Because, you know, it was just a last-minute trip. We just grabbed whatever. And that penis-shaped lighter had been in there for years. I had wondered what happened to it, and then they found it for me.
You're like, thank you so much for finding it.
That's fantastic.
I assume it was the lighter part of it, not the penis-shaped part of it, that was the problem?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I couldn't even keep it.
Couldn't even keep it. Wow, that hurts.
Dumb question, you guys. Are you not allowed to take a lighter on a plane?
No.
It's fire, Bean.
Really?
Lighters have fire?
I just thought lots of people travel with lighters in their purses and stuff. You're not allowed to. Never even occurred to me.
No.
Because nobody smokes anymore, so I guess I just hadn't thought of it.
Right. No one smokes.
1-800-520-1067. Well, it's less than 10% of the population. Let's try Diana, please. She's line two, and she is Azusa.
Hey, Diana.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
So it's our first family trip ever to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And we land in Hawaii, super excited. They put our lay on us, and we're walking to get our luggage. And all of a sudden, dogs and police are surrounding my mom.
Oh, no.
So we're super scared. What's going on? Oh, my God. They pull us to the side. They make my mom take out everything from her purse. And it turns out she has jalapenos, fresh jalapenos in her purse.
Yeah.
So we thought, oh, my God, we're getting deported. We've only traveled to Mexico before. So this was our first thing. So, yeah, they pulled out jalapenos from her purse.
And was the problem there just like when so many states you're not allowed to travel with fruits or vegetables in or out?
No, especially Hawaii because it's an island.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Ah.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So the dogs sniffed out the jalapenos. I don't know. But it was.
But everything was okay.
Everything was okay. They let us go.
But... Are you calling us from Mexico today?
No.
Okay, are we your checking. One call?
All right. Thank you, Diana. We appreciate the call. From the 909, my friend's dad was on his way to meet a big client, and TSA found brass knuckles in his bag.
All right.
Listen to this. Instant arrest, and he had to spend the night in jail. There must be more to it than just having the brass knuckles, right? Those funky knuckles.
You go straight to hell.
Oh,
let's go to Ricky. Hello, Ricky.
Hi.
Hi. What did they find in your bag?
It is actually my son's carry-on, a pair of nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
All right.
Yes.
Good.
So my son would compete in Junior Olympics doing weapons, doing nunchucks. He bought a pair as a souvenir in Hawaii where you're taking an international flight. And, of course, I'm teaching my kids. Pack your own luggage. Mm-hmm. You got to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were in line for security, and it's like, Eric, where are your nunchucks? Oh, they're in my carry-on, right as it's going through the x-ray.
Sweet.
So, of course, they find them, and guess who is now on TSA's list for life? On a flight.
How about that?
For life? You can't get off that list?
I've looked into it. I need to look further. I have a cousin who's a pilot, and he just laughed. He said, Ricky, you are carrying a weapon on a flight.
Oh, no.
You will not get off that list.
This is so much worse because every time you're going to be looked at in depth now. Oh,
yeah,
that sucks.
Every time. And we didn't know for a year. The supervisor we spoke to said, don't worry about it. I just need you to sign this form. You guys can go on your way. Didn't even confiscate the nunchucks. They just had me check them in to check baggage.
That's
and
funny.
A year later, we're flying. can't check in on, you know, the online check-in. I get to the kiosk, can't check in. We go up to the counter, and the guy laughs, and I said, you know, why is this happening?
He
is
said,
this
hey, nunchucks.
A three-legged flight? And he goes, no. He goes, it's because of you. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, you were carrying a weapon on the flight?
Yeah. All right. That's, there's like, our listeners in a nutshell right there. Great story. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, let's do one more, only because he worked for TSA. Gerald in Torrance has seen it all. He's been the guy who's been pulling the nunchucks and the penis-shaped lighters out of luggage for years. Gerald, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What kind of stuff did you find?
Anything that'll fit in a luggage, I've seen it. But my favorite thing was once we were checking this lady's bag, she looked like a librarian with the glasses and the long dress and demure and everything, and she was sitting off to the side. We started going through her bag. Okay, we're pulling out whips and chains, ball gags. She did not move. She was just completely, you know, she acted like we were just pulling out food out of her bag or something.
She wasn't scared at all? She was just fine?
She was just sitting there with a little smile on her face, and everybody just kept looking at her, pulling out dildos. I mean, it was unreal.
Good for her.
But we're always pulling out. You wouldn't believe the how many cops forget their guns in their luggage.
Is that right?
Really?
Cops
guns.
Forget that they have a gun there.
That has happened so many times, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
That's amazing. You think of all people, they would be aware of where their gun is.
You would think so, but we have pulled out some. Oh, I once pulled out a MAC-10 pulled apart, an AR-15 pulled apart.
What? Really?
But the thing is, it was put in a FedEx box, and I could see it on the screen, and I'm thinking, okay, this really looks like a gun, but nobody's going to put a gun in there, not this big.
So you let it go through?
Pardon?
So you let it go through?
Oh, no. No.
All right, Gerald. Well, you're a great American. Thank you for the good work that you do and did. We appreciate the call on K-Rod. The president of the Hollywood Curling Association, Kevin. Your new mortal foe is going to be joining us just after 8 a.m. You've been doing a lot of smack talking about the curling since the Olympics started.
I could compete after 2 hours of practice.
No, you could not.
You're right. An hour and a half. That's way too long.
It's way more difficult than you think it is.
Okay, an hour.
And we will be talking to the president, again, of the Hollywood Curling Association all about it coming up. Let's talk to the P, by the way. The P would know. P, Kevin's way off base on this curling thing. It would take him years to be an Olympic-level athlete in that sport, right?
You guys talking broom stacking?
Yep. Yes, we are.
You guys talking a little curling? You guys talking about the hammer?
Yep.
The hammer in the house.
Kevin's crazy.
That's what we've been saying.
I mean, I'm not to say that curling is the same as being like the best high jumper in the world.
Right. It's not athletic.
But at the same time, first of all, you have to be a mildly attractive Canadian woman, it seems, to get involved.
That is actually true. You do fail on that on all those counts.
You know, you have to be able to do a lot of drinking. And I don't think Kevin can keep up.
Oh, I can drink.
All right. Well, listen, I don't want to eat into your time. The reason the P is here is because Monday nights on ABC, it's The Bachelor. That means it's time on K-Rock right now for The Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the peeps, can't stand a man, so we watch. So you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah. Girls crying, hallelujah. Girls crazy, hallelujah. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
All right, Kevin, you warming up to Ari at all, The Bachelor?
No, Ari's an idiot and a loser and worthless.
I'm out.
Right?
Really?
I want to talk curling.
So
because they got rid of the villain.
Yep.
So with no villain, there's no real show because Ari, or as you say, Ari.
Sorry, I don't watch the show. I didn't
know. That's
all
right. That's a point of pride, Bean.
He's an idiot. You know, he's a dullard. He's got nothing going on.
There has been a sea change in the way the women are looking at the game, though, because now next week, they're talking about taking him home to meet their families. So now they're all starting to consider, is this really, okay, it's been a game up until this point, but now if I'm one of the final four, next week I bring home Ari and introduce him to my family as a guy who might propose to me over three other girls on a TV show. And the first one to consider that is Jacqueline. And she says, you know what? I don't feel like I want that to happen. And this happens.
I just know that there are women here that are like completely confident. And I don't know. I don't know how to stay when that's the case. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, that was like telling Data, the robot from Star Trek.
It's okay. You're
leaving.
So she left.
She's got nothing.
She stood up and left. She's like, I don't think I want to bring you to my hometown, so I'm out.
Wow.
You guys know what it's like at the office if there's somebody that's just like universally hated.
Yes.
And like Doc on the Rock.
Nope.
I'm joking.
How dare you? Good pull, though.
Nope. We've taken bets on who he's going to kill first.
But when that person leaves.
How's a joke?
Right? You realize, wow, that person fueled our hatred and brought us together. Now that that person's gone, why am I here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Interesting.
Now, and that's what happened once Crystal left. These women are all kind of looking at each other like, okay, the fire's gone. There's nobody to compete with or be all upset with.
Now we have to actually
this idiot robot.
Right. Now we have to actually consider a relationship with this guy, and that's ridiculous. So Kendall wasn't sure whether she wanted to move forward or not. It scared her as well to take him home. So she basically just lays it out all on the line, and you see what Ari does.
I have a really hard time connecting my emotions with what I say to you when I'm with you, but I don't feel like you're anything like anyone I've dated before. And the way I feel now, every time I'm with you.
Now she's just about to really lay it on the line and say, I've decided I'm staying and you're the one.
It's very obvious to me that I feel like I'm starting to fall in love with you.
Oh, no.
He thinks about it for a second.
You seem like you have something to say about that.
No, I just, you know. I'm going to be right back.
I'm going to be right back.
No.
He what? It's just the two of them at this little table. And he leaves and walks away.
God.
He walks.
Do you know what I'm going to be right back is speak for in the Bachelor world?
No, I don't.
I'm going to go get instructions from a producer because I'm too stupid to think for myself and speak.
So he walks away from the table and she sits there and now she's being interviewed like, maybe I said too much. I shouldn't have put myself out there so
much.
I'm
mortified.
This is embarrassing. This is blah, blah, blah. And he walks back in after P says he talked to the producers and gives her a rose. She's fine. All good.
Total 180.
Total 180.
By the way, Bachelor aside, television aside, when somebody puts their heart out to you and says, I love you and I realize I want to spend my life with you, what they're not looking for is I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. And he stands up and leaves and he's gone. I don't know what it looked like for P, like a minute and a half, which to her seemed like a year and a half.
What if he had to blow it out? Like, how long did it take to blow it out?
All right, so he gives her a rose so she's safe. Now he's talking to Cien? I don't know how to say it.
She's way out of his league.
She's the best person on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so far out of his league, she shouldn't
She's like one of the Obama daughters.
Yeah, she should not even be spending a second with him. And he sits down with her, and he's not really feeling it as much either, and he starts like this.
Our first date was really, really good, and I feel like there isn't anything wrong with us.
Okay, there's not anything wrong with us. So where do you think he's going with this?
But there sure as the hell is something wrong with you.
I just haven't felt things that I feel like I should be feeling at this moment. I feel like we should be further along than this. And I just want to tell you that I can't give you the rose.
So she has to leave, and thank God, because she would have been stuck with loser Ari.
Oh, she's never going to, if she has a brain in her head, which it seems like she does, we'll never see her again.
Right.
Not on the Winter Games, not on the Curling Bachelor extravaganza coming up next week.
We're going to get to the Winter Games in a second. But then there was Tia versus Becca. Now, remember, Becca's the 22-year-old, and she's not ready for marriage.
No.
And Tia wants to make sure. Now it's just down to the two of them. One of them gets a rose, one goes home.
Oh.
And so Tia goes and talks to him and says, she's not ready. She's 22. She doesn't want to get married. I do. I know what I want. I want to blah, 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 blah. So then he sits down between the two of them. He's got Tia on one side and Becca on the other side.
Why is Tia talking about my girl, Becca?
Well, I mean, she was smack
talking. It's competition.
Her.
That's why.
It was competition, right.
This is definitely the hardest rose that I've had to give out. I am confident in this decision.
I like how he went from this is the toughest one to I'm confident in that amount of time because he made up his mind a long time ago when P's favorite, Becca, when he found out she was 22 and he's, what, 36 or something like that?
And Tia, will you accept this rose?
Yes.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And then Becca has to do the walk of shame out to the car of shame where they have to do the interview of shame.
She's, what, 22? She's going to be just fine. Why are they...
Her hands are over her face. She's sobbing.
Why are they always whispering?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
I don't
it's
know.
Emotional to... Didn't you ever see Felicity?
Yes, I did.
That's a great question. So there's four.
It means so much more when you whisper things. So that's why nobody likes me because I never whisper.
That is true. My daughter said, is that the guy yelling on TV that you know, Dad? Yep, that's him. The remaining women, there's four of them, Tia, Lauren, Kendall, and Becca, and they're going to take Ari to meet the families next week. So that's that. Now, Bean, I just want to bring up this. They've advertised this a lot because I believe of the tie-in of the Winter Olympics.
Okay.
But tonight, you have homework.
It's the premiere episode of The Bachelor Winter Games, with the biggest and brightest international stars coming together.
All right, these are the different Bachelor TV shows all around the world.
No.
And they're taking the best or worst from all of those, and they're doing the Bachelor Winter Games.
From across the Bachelor universe.
This weather, the setting, the scene, it's kind of like the United Nations of love.
Ambassadors from around the world competing for another chance at love.
And that's tonight. So we'll have the Bachelor report tomorrow with Bean.
That's not happening.
As he watches.
Pete, does this make any sense to you? Have they ever done anything like this in the history of the franchise?
This is a first. I think they're trying to capitalize on the Winter Games going on right now, if I had to guess.
Right, but do you think they honestly think somebody's going to go, oh, that the first word of that show is winter, so I'm going to watch? I mean, honestly, if they think they're going to pull eyes away from the Olympics for the Winter Games?
Well, look, if I knew there was a Bachelor, like, in Lithuania or something that I could watch and not have to watch the one in America, I'd be all over that.
So anyway, they're doing the best stuff, and they're starting it tonight, which is odd because the season we're on hasn't even wrapped up yet.
Yeah.
So do you want me?
Do I want you? Yes.
No, we want to avoid this at all possible costs, P.
I want you, P, but I don't want to talk about the Winter Games.
Are you sure? Because I'll be available.
Right. Petros is half of the Petros and Buddy radio show, by the way. Weekday afternoons at AM 570 LA Sports. The Bachelor airs Monday nights at 8 on ABC Channel 7. This has been the Bachelor Report. Thanks, P.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
9 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're giving away more tickets for 30 Seconds to Mars with Walk the Moon. They are playing at the Forum on July 19th. And we're also doing a grand prize flyaway. It's K-Rock's Wheels Up 2018 destination number one, including round trip, airfare, and hotel, plus tickets to see them at Madison Square Garden on June 20th. So good stuff. 9 o'clock this morning right here on K-Rock. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
You guys, I've fallen in love with a couple different Olympians.
Okay.
They're amazing. They're both teens. I just adore them.
Okay.
First off, remember a few days ago, we won our first gold, and that was courtesy of Red Girard in snowboarding, the slopestyle event. Yes. I had mentioned his interview that he did afterwards, and he rolls 17 deep. There are 17 people that came with him to the Olympics. Here he is talking about it.
It's definitely crazy having a group of 17 people at the bottom of the slope run and knowing that they're there. And, like, you know, if you were to fall on all three of your runs, that'd be a pretty big bummer. But, I mean, I kind of know they're always going to be there for me. And I'd say they've been having some fun, yeah. Excuse me, but I got a Snapchat this morning at like 8:30 when I was taking a bus up, and they were all shotgunning beers on the way to the mountain. So I'd say they've been having a good time, yes.
And if there's one thing you could say to them right now, what would that be?
Save some.
Yoo-hoo. We did it.
I love him so much because he really would have disappointed those 17 people had he not shown up to his event, which was a possibility. Why, you might ask? Oh, because he was up really late binge-watching episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine into the early hours. His roommate said, Red, you out of bed yet? At 6:20 a.m., that's 20 minutes after his alarm went off. He was still dead asleep. Gerard said he panicked, ate a quick breakfast, and then couldn't find his Olympic jacket, so he had to borrow his friends and then rushed to what was then his gold medal victory. I love him so much.
This is like if Kevin were an Olympian, by the way.
100%.
How dare you? At the top of the hill, just before he went down, you could tell that he was just having a great time.
Absolutely.
He was like, woo! And he was high-fiving people, ready to go. I mean,
feeling it.
There was no pressure, it seemed like.
Well, if Red Gerard reminds you of Kevin, Chloe Kim is basically Kevin, but a woman and a 17-year-old girl.
And a cute woman.
I love her so much.
Yes.
She won the gold in women's snowboard halfpipe. But on Saturday, she tweeted, oh, I also had two churros today, and they were pretty bomb. So if you ever get nervous, go eat a churro. Okay. Then Sunday, she tweets, could be down for some ice cream right now. And a guy responded, aren't you competing right now? And she simply just answered, yes. She is tweeting during her competition.
I really could use some ice cream.
So then yesterday, again, mind you, in the middle of competition, she tweeted this prior to her third run in the women's halfpipe final. When I finished my breakfast sandwich, wish I finished my breakfast sandwich, but my stubborn self decided not to, and now I'm getting hangry. And then she won a gold medal.
Yeah.
One run later. Like, unbelievable. I love these kids, you guys. They're
same.
Just growing up, winning gold medals. It's wonderful.
I mean, I think this is, you know, you're exactly describing what the magic of Olympics are, is you see these people who are just so extraordinary at something, and you get to learn all about them.
Yeah. If Chloe Kim, who, by the way, tweets constantly about food,
right,
does not have at least 20 endorsements from all different food
no kidding.
Companies, something is very wrong. Wow. Ozzy Osbourne. He did an interview with Rolling Stone promoting his final tour, and he was asked, over the last 40 years, I'm sure you've seen some remarkable things at your concerts, what's the most memorable? This is his quote. There was one night when I saw a bunch of people, they weren't moving to the rock and roll, and if someone's not moving in the audience and not doing anything, I'll do the show just for that person, and I'll start throwing buckets of water at those people. Then someone told me the reason they're not moving or getting into the concert is because they're all deaf.
Oh, no.
And I felt like quite an idiot at the time, lashing them with buckets of water and hosing them down. They were just standing there. Why does a deaf person go to a rock concert? I couldn't understand it. But I was told they feel the rhythm. It was quite interesting. Can you imagine you're at a concert and just you're chucking buckets at people because they don't seem to be enjoying themselves. And then people are like, hey, Ozzy, they are deaf.
In Ozzy's defense, I get why you don't automatically assume that a crowd in front of you at a rock concert, you know, can hear, you know?
Sure.
I mean,
right.
He wasn't expecting that they were deaf. That's for sure.
He was not.
Mm-mm.
That's which, funny, though. We need to delve further into that at some point.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you know what I'm saying. Kevin has some stories of your own. Some birthdays for you. Singer Robbie Williams, singer Henry Rollins, and actress Mina Suvari. And that's what's happening.
You guys feeling it?
Feeling what?
You feeling it? Come on.
Feeling. Are we feeling it?
Curling.
Right? Curling fever, you guys. You know how you get your hack and you take it over to the skip onto the hog line with the sweepers? You know how you do all that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You're with me? Kevin, I've never seen you as excited about any sport at the Olympics as you were when curling came back.
Look.
Last Thursday night or whatever it was.
Look, here's the thing.
Okay.
Curling blows, but hold
on. You don't mean that. You love it.
Hold on. But it blows enough that it's interesting to watch. It's like a bad accident when you're driving by. You have to look.
And
I can't look away from curling because I can't believe it's a thing.
Yeah, well, you don't have to look away. It's on every single day.
It's on every day of the Olympics. Does that surprise anyone?
And it's been a thing for like 100 years or something,
How
right?
is that possible?
What was the thing that you were laughing at the other day? Hang on, Liza. We're going to get to you in 1 second. What was the thing that you were laughing at the other day about the, something that happened during a match where they went to the audience for a ruling
Apparently, they don't have refs. I'm not positive. But this is from my Twitter, so it was sort of me recording the TV. It's not great audio. But they're not exactly sure what happened. So they turned to the crowd and they ask for a ruling. Does anyone in the crowd? Yes.
No.
Does anyone in the crowd know what happened? Here we go.
This is going to be difficult. We don't want to speculate, but
what kind of
as they work through the language here.
All right, here he goes.
Was it out?
Was it out?
Anyone?
Anyone?
No. There you go. The audience.
In.
In? Anybody?
I don't know. You want to see? Come on, guys. Answer. In or out?
No.
He's asking the crowd.
What are the refs doing?
If it's in or out, I didn't see a ref. I don't think they have refs.
Curling.
It's crazy.
All right, what sport
asks the crowd?
We clearly have more questions than answers. So let's get Liza Barris on the phone. She is the president, you guys, of Hollywood Curling on Twitter at Hollywood Curl, hollywoodcurling.org. Welcome to the show, Liza. How are you?
Hi, guys.
Do you not have refs?
We do not have refs. That is a true thing. You are right about that.
What the F?
How is that possible? Don't you need somebody to decide if somebody's offsides or somebody makes an illegal move or cheats or something?
No, that's the beauty of curling. It's a gentleman's sport, and so we self-police ourselves. If you burn the rock by touching it with your broom, you take it out of play and you admit your fault to the other team.
And that happens 100% of the time. No one ever tries to... I didn't touch it. What are you talking about?
You know, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. People are generally pretty good about it. And it's hard to get away with something like that if you're in that level competition because you're kind of under a microscope. I mean, lots of cameras, lots of crowds. You're not going to get away with too much in that respect.
But
we don't have...
Do you normally, I guess there's never any crowd for curling because it's curling, but do you ever ask the audience for a ruling?
Okay, that's the first time I've ever seen that. To be honest with you, I'm not entirely 100% sure he was, in fact, asking the audience.
He was looking up at the crowd.
I think he was just playing to the audience.
The officials and the timekeepers, they're also right in line with the crowd. And I think it's possible he was actually asking them and that the audience assumed he was asking them, so they all answered for them.
I think he
was asking the timekeepers and the officials whose job it is to watch.
Whoever he was asking was clearly asleep, so it must have been the time official.
Yeah, no question. The crowd was on it, though. The crowd was right there with it.
Liza, what is it like for you guys at Hollywood Curling where, I mean, I assume you just don't even need a phone for, you know, for 3 years and 51 months of weeks of the year. And then all of a sudden the Olympics comes around, you go, all right, we better plug it back in because people are going to be calling.
You know, you'd think that, but actually, you know, curling has been it's been the fastest growing sport in the U.S. for a number of years. And I'm not just saying that to you. You can actually look
No,
that
you
up.
Can start with one player, and if you get four in a year, you've grown 400%. That's amazing.
No. You would think that, but no. Honestly, we've been seeing a huge, huge growth in the sport ever since Vancouver in 2010.
All right, can we just back up just for 1 second and say... You're throwing around the word sport a lot. I mean, look, it could be a competition.
Oh, Liza, I'm sorry.
It could be a competition. Yeah. It's not a sport.
Have you guys actually bothered to ask Allie McKay what she thinks? We got her on the ice 4 years ago.
Why?
She was really good.
I discussed with them the first time Kevin brought it up. A, how hard it is. It is not easy to do. You have to actually be athletic to do it.
In my defense,
and how fun it was. It was a blast.
In my defense, all I heard was something about how hard it was, and I was out. So I didn't know exactly what you were talking about. I mean,
seriously though, you'd think that it's a really, really easy thing to do. And I'll admit it. Most of the people that I teach all come to learn how to curl and they all think this is going to be a cakewalk.
And it is.
It takes pretty much no time on the ice for them to realize that this is remarkably harder than they thought it was. Because I admit, I was that person too that saw it on TV and thought, hey, I can do this. I mean, this is my ticket to the Olympics. I'm not going to do ski jumping. I'm not going to make it into speed skating at this point. But you know what? Curling?
Right.
I can do that.
But
all right,
you know why? Liza, let me jump in and ask you this. Would you say that this is a fair comparison? People watch bowling on TV and they go, oh, that looks so easy. But try bowling a 300 game and you realize how difficult it is.
Even another step harder than that. I love the comparisons to bowling because at the rec league level, absolutely really similar. But as soon as you get up into a higher level of play, I mean, we're talking about a massive amount of concentration and strategy that's needed. That's mm-hmm. one element of the game.
Right.
A tremendous amount of core strength and balance. Mm-hmm. In order to slide out and deliver that rock consistently, and to be able to do it perfectly every
right.
single time
I'll
takes
deliver the rock.
A tremendous amount of control. And then add to that the sweeping. And I know the sweeping looks ridiculous to
it's
you guys,
just...
and I know everybody just thinks we have Swiffers out there, but I promise you, the sweeping is absolutely intense. You're trying to put as much of your body weight pushing down on the ice as you scrub it back and forth, as you're moving at a pretty quick speed. And when you're sweeping, you'll throw two stones of your own. Then you got to get up and you got to sweep your teammate's rock.
It's got to be exhausting.
You're sweeping hard for about 45 seconds. You have about 45 seconds to walk back to the other end of the rink and do it again and again and again for two and a half hours.
I could lay in bed for a year and get up and do curling.
You
easy.
Are the worst.
Easy.
Liza, I am on your side.
Psycho Mike joining us in
oh,
here.
Oh, no.
Hey, I'm just saying that I, too, have curled. I have actually
oh, you
curled
have. Okay.
At Hollywood Curling.
Okay. Yeah.
Not hard or fun. Both
a
lie.
You're a liar.
Wow. Wow. We remember you, Psycho Mike. We remember that.
Every single person. I'm sorry to talk over you. I apologize. But every single person that I encountered at Hollywood Curling, delightful people. Mm-hmm. The experience itself mm-hmm. was very enjoyable.
Right.
But what are hard and fun in comparison to what? Hard in comparison to being in a coma. I'll fun in comparison to
wow.
being audited.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
Look, here's my thing. I'm fascinated by curling not just because of what it is, and let's stop calling it a sport. It's more like chess.
It is chess on ice is what it's known
as. Is it?
Oh, I need to get your butt out there gliding.
Chess on ice does not help. That doesn't make it better.
All right.
Is it the only sport that's on every day of the Olympics?
It is. Yes, it's on 18 days of a 17-day Olympic game. Yes, that is
incredibly ridiculous.
Yep, and over 50% of the TV coverage is dedicated to curling this time around.
What? See?
That's what I'm
amazing.
Saying.
Liza, will you welcome Kevin to Hollywood Curling? Can he come down and try it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he has to now. You got to put your money where your mouth is.
Amen.
But what if my first rock is a biter and it's in the T line?
Kevin,
and stays in the house.
If you can get the stone in the house mm-hmm. on your very first shot,
money,
and make it look good,
then yes. Whoa! Hold on!
It's not a sport.
Hold on! Stop! Stop for a second.
That's not going
to
happen.
That's not fair because I've never done it, so it can't look good. It just has to. I just have to be able to accomplish it.
Yeah, I didn't know there were style points.
There's no look good. You said if I could make it look good. If I can put it in the house.
Well, she doesn't want you all splayed out on the ice.
Hey,
you have
I'll
to
do
be, like, gliding.
You need to slide out.
Yeah.
Has she seen me throwing out the first pitch at Dodger Stadium?
It's not pretty.
And by the way,
Liza, it's not
good. A guy doesn't go to the major leagues, hit a home run, and they're like, yeah, your stance was a little off. I don't know if it counts.
Right. As long as the rock is in,
the,
in house, the
house. Okay.
Stop
boom.
Saying that.
Then let's put some money on it. Then $100.
$100.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I don't know.
I didn't know you could bet on curling, by the way.
You could bet on anything, Bean. That's the beauty of betting. All right, listen. We'll get back a hold of you, and we'll try and set up a time when Psycho Mike can come out and do this.
What?
Kevin,
wait a second.
No. Mike has already spoken his piece. Thank you very much.
Yes.
We're going to get Kevin down there. All right, real quick before we let you go. So HollywoodCurling.org, that's the place, and you are open for business for people who want to learn how to curl, right?
For the next 16 days.
Absolutely. We do tons and tons of beginner's classes. beginners leagues, things like that. And I promise you guys, once you try it, don't listen to Mike. Once you try it,
listen.
It's absolutely a ton of fun.
Well, I agree, Liza.
And by the way, don't listen to Mike is how we live around here. So you don't even worry about it. Liza?
I listen to Mike a lot.
Correct. Thank you so much for coming on the President of Hollywood Curling. We'll see you again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you, bud.
Let's let comedian Eddie Iff decide. Curling, sport or no sport, Eddie?
I think there's a lot of sports in the Olympics that aren't sports.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it's fair that, like, somebody's like, yeah, I just got a gold medal in the skeleton. And I don't remember skeleton in gym class. I don't remember the skeleton team at my high school. And I don't remember it at my college
either. But I don't think that's a direct parallel. Look, you have to climb a rope in gym class, too. That's not in the Olympics. Not everything is going to be the same.
They should have rope climbing.
Right. Now. Agreed.
Kevin, you really laid into the curling lady.
Poor Liza.
I felt bad for her.
Right?
Hold on for a second.
She's out there doing what she loves.
Right, but what she loves is stupid. Am I right?
No, you're not right at all.
Okay. She's the sweeper, right?
Just for the behind the scenes... Dave walked in before the interview and said, Liza said, don't go easy on her. So I was like, all right.
Well, she defended herself well.
She told the wrong person that.
Yeah,
that's insanity. That's
she
sport.
Ended up looking good on that interview. That's what I've said.
I just saw on Instagram where a guy's mocking them. He's got one of those remote control sweepers going through his house, and he's in front of it with a real sweeper, just like a broom, just sweeping the floor.
I love it. Got his Roomba doing the curling. I love it.
Eddie, it is the only sport that's on every day.
Oh, is it?
It's on one of those. It's on more than any other winter sport in the Olympics.
Is it like cricket where they play for like ever?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
Because cricket lasts for like, it can last for like a month or 6 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I never understood cricket.
I played cricket once in England, and we played for like 2 days, it felt like. And at the end, they said, next person to score wins.
Oh, my God.
Just
out
of nowhere.
And I go, no, 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 no.
Yeah, if that's how it ends, you could have done that 40 hours ago.
Yeah, it's like I lost my mind playing that
dumb sport.
Of course. You sit in the outfield for hours waiting for something to happen. And you want to daydream and do other, like, pick weeds out of the grass.
Sure.
But you can't. Because the ball's harder than a baseball, and you don't have a glove.
Yeah.
And it could come at you at any moment, and you have to run away from it.
That seems bad.
Then chase it back on the ground and pick it up.
Speaking of sports, Eddie Eft, I wanted to ask you this. And by the way, thank you for coming in. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me. I love you.
Eddie's going to be at the Bray Improv Thursday night, then at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena on Saturday, the 24th. You had a tweet over the weekend of the Super Bowl, and I guess I didn't realize it. Do I have this right? You have... Are you married to someone who is the daughter of a former Philadelphia Eagle?
I'm being held hostage by a family.
Oh, no.
Because
you're a Steelers fan through and through.
I grew up Pittsburgh Steelers.
Lifelong.
Yeah. My whole family, like, you know, you grew up in Pittsburgh, you have to, or they will murder you.
Right. And like, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia,
by the way,
for folks who don't follow, sports, they are in the same state, but they are bitter rivals.
Yeah, they don't. It's like we don't know they exist. We drive around their city. We just don't. It's not. We don't care. We don't act like they exist. But now I've got a father-in-law who played. He was. He played in the late 70s, early 80s. He was played with Vince Papale. And he's got a book coming out right now with Vince. And
what position did he play?
He played center. He's the guy in the movie, Invincible.
Is that right?
The knuckles guy.
Is that right?
Says you look for the white of the knuckles.
No way.
Yes.
That's your father-in-law.
I call him more of my warden.
Your warden, yeah. So you have to now root for the Eagles?
Because that must have been a very difficult decision for you, Eddie.
Not okay.
Look, they're not rivals. We don't play in the same. There was a chance we were both going to go to the Super Bowl together, and then I was like, oh, this is going to get awkward.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's almost worse for a Steelers fan to root for the Patriots.
Yeah, we hate the Patriots more, I actually rooted for the Eagles. And besides the fact that my father-in-law is huge.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And your
wife can cut you off.
He looks weirdly. He's got like a beard, kind of like I do. He looks like we look like one of those Russian nesting dolls.
No!
Like, it looks like he cracked open and I popped out. And there were like three in between us. We have a picture of him with his arm around me. I'm the little doll.
Oh, man.
The little doll.
Did you root for whoever he played for?
Did you watch the game with him?
No, I didn't, because we were in Lake Tahoe. He was at the game.
Oh, my goodness. And what's it been like in the, you know, the days leading up to and then especially after the Super Bowl for a guy who is probably among the Philadelphia Eagles fans who thought they might never live long enough to see a Super Bowl win? Did he cry?
He'd probably kill me for saying this, but he did. He cried.
What a baby.
It's not going to hurt me.
That's what I said.
It's not going to hurt me. He's going to hurt you.
Yeah, he got news for right you. Now. I'm going to send it to him.
I've said a lot worse in front of him. I have one joke that I've said when he was in the room that right as I was midway into it, I remembered part of the punchline and I went, oh, I have to get out of this joke now.
Oh, is that right?
And I started to freak out. I was like, and the audience looked at me like, what's wrong?
What is wrong with you?
He's staring at me.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was, he literally, it sounds cliche, but while I was, one time I was at his house, he has a house in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina. Like he chops wood.
Enough said.
He
chops wood, okay.
And while he was chopping wood with me standing there watching, because I have soft hands, he said to me, "What are your intentions with my daughter?"
Oh, no, man. Like a movie.
And he's holding an axe?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
And you said, nothing, sir?
Well, what I wanted to answer...
I'm sure it's very different than what you said.
Yeah. So what I wanted to answer would have got me high fived by all the trees in the forest.
Yes. Clearly anal, right?
Yes. That's exactly.
I didn't know if I could say it.
I didn't know if I could say it, Bean. Thank you.
Bean will step in when
Yes. Bean, you've seen my act. That's what I wanted to say on stage.
I mean, it would
the
have been
only
perfect.
Appropriate response.
But I just look across and there he is, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this joke right now.
Yeah.
And I really did say to him, hey, you know, I love your daughter. And we never planned on getting married. We were just going to be like hippies. And he goes, you're getting married, right? And I said, well, you know, we're not really religious. And, you know, we don't believe in rules. He goes, you're getting married. And I was like, so.
It's funny. The last time I thought it was a question. Now it's no longer a question.
So this isn't a story. This is a cry for help.
It's so sad.
But it worked out, and everybody's happy.
Yes.
He's happy to have a comedian as a son-in-law?
I don't know. Sometimes I think
there's no one dreams about that for the little girl.
No, and I had to tell when I told my own dad that I was a comedian, I had to sit him down like it was like I was coming out of the closet. I was like, Dad, we need to talk. And he's like, what? I'm like, you need to sit down. And I told him, I said, I'm a comedian. And my dad was like, oh, God, why couldn't you be gay?
All right. Eddie Ift is here. He's at the Bray Improv Thursday night. Tickets available at improv.com or eddieift.com. Also at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena on Saturday, February 24th. Hey, by the way, the bingo bus didn't really break down. That was a joke, right?
No, it totally broke down.
I got to find out. Because I invested in the stupid bingo bus, by the way, and got nothing for it.
Oh, you haven't gotten your... there just must be a mailing.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
It's been years now, Eddie.
It's probably
in your place in Washington.
Right after this. Our friend, comedian Eddie Ift. I, by the way, just pulled a Kevin, had my mic off when I started the door.
Yes, see, it happens to the best of us.
It hasn't happened to me yet until right now. Eddie Ift in studio with us right now. You can see him at the Bray Improv this Thursday night at 8, eddieift.com or improv.com. Tickets just $15. Eddie is one of the best in the business. Then the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena the following week. Now, you were starting to tell us about the bingo bus being broken down, Eddie. I thought of this because of the chatter on your social media about that couple that sold everything they owned and go around the world on a sailboat, and then so 2 days into their journey, it sunk. Their boat sunk.
Now, Bean, how much money did you donate to the bingo bus?
I don't remember. I think it was like $100 maybe or something like that.
And what were you promised?
Help me out here, Eddie, because it's been $100 now.
I think for $100, I was supposed to leave the voicemail on your outgoing message.
Yeah. For whatever reason, no one ever got in touch with me, and not that I would have been impressed by
email?
That anyway.
You didn't get the email?
Was that whole thing a scam?
It was. That's my question.
It wasn't
whole thing a scam?
No, the whole thing wasn't a scam. I bought the bus for $11,000.
Right.
I put... about $80,000. So $60,000 of the Kickstarter money. So 51 of it went in.
And explain why you had to put so much money into it.
Because we ripped out the whole inside of the bus and then rebuilt everything and made it a...
And made a recording studio.
It's a recording. A mobile audio-video studio. And so we had to buy all the equipment.
One of the times you were here, it was mostly empty, but you were showing me, here's where this is going to go.
So it's almost complete right now. So you've
been working on it for 5 years.
Right. And we have put in 80 some, almost $90,000, and it's worth about $500. Like, if anybody would like to buy it right now, I'll sell it to you for $500. It broke down so many times because apparently it's got this horrible engine, this Ford. Watch, people will, like, write to me after this. It's got a Ford V6 turbo diesel engine, which is notoriously, like, the worst engine in the world.
Okay.
And so the engine just keeps breaking down, and then we have to, like, rebuild the engine. But we can't, like, get a new bus because it's so built out, but I'm going to have to eventually replace the entire engine.
Just gut the engine.
We're going to put a Chevy engine in it, which is just – but this has been a process.
Do another Kickstarter and promise people a lot of stuff you're not going
to
deliver.
It made it all the way across the country. Well, not all the way. We got to Iowa.
That is not Iowa, not even close.
We broke down, like – 100 feet from, well, we got carbon monoxide poisoning. Everyone in the bus got carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's what I like about you. Oh. Everything is first class.
I tried to sue the guys that sold it to me because I was like, I looked at the comps. Like, every other bus was $30,000 for this kind of bus. And I'm like, why are you selling this for $11,000? The guy's like, oh, it's these carb laws, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you'll be fine. It's perfect for you because you're not a school bus.
Yeah,
and
sucker.
Then I found out
it
was
a sucker.
Yeah, exactly. And then I took the guy to court, and the guy was like, hey, I told you as is. And I was like, when we got the carbon monoxide poisoning, coasted into, with like our heads out the window, into this. I have a bunch of comedians that I'm bringing in, a crew filming, and they're all like, I've got a headache. And I'm like, shut up, we're almost there. And we pull into this diesel mechanics place. And it looks like something. It looks like where the Yellow King lives or works. Right. And I walk in. They're like, Eddie, you go in. Everyone was scared. I'm like, all right, I'll go in. I walk in, and there's rebel flags all over the walls.
Oh, wow.
This is in Iowa?
In Iowa.
That surprises me.
And I was just like, guys, I think we're going to need to just get an Uber and leave the bus here. And we'll make a Bingle Museum in Iowa City,
Word
Iowa.
Stands.
And people can come visit it. But I don't think we can work with this guy. Looks like Mumford & Sons, but more like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay.
And
I gotcha.
It was the guy turned out to be a good guy, despite his faults.
So what's the status of the bus now? Is it
the run? Bus is
still in Iowa.
The bus is at a mechanic's over in Calabasas right now. It's
okay.
It's ready to be picked up and ready to start out again. And it's just I've run out of comedians that are willing to go on.
It does seem like it's bad for your health. I mean, first things first. It does seem like maybe that's a mistake.
I had a mechanic back in L.A. that I was texting while it was all happening. I said, I think it's this. I think it's that. He's like, I've got the solution. And he sent me back a picture of the masks that they wear at, like, fighter jets. And he goes, just wear these. You guys can drive in this.
That doesn't very seem convenient like the best idea. For recording a podcast with one of those on, too, right?
It had rats in it at one point.
Oh
my God.
Because I live up in a canyon. If you live in a canyon, you get infested by rats in your vehicles. They go hide in there.
This is what I love about you, is 100% bad decision guy.
That's what my wife says.
Yes, because it's true.
And I'm like, I married you. And she goes, yeah, it was contagious. The rats go up into your car and eat chew your wires.
Yeah. I've had that happen here in the parking lot. Yeah.
Here?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did you leave your car for?
Just during the show, but we get here, you know, at 5, you know, I get here at like 3:30, and so it's dark and cold, and they try to find warmth, and they get up in there, and they chew your wires.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it happens like every day, and right. I am a very, like, I love animals, and I don't believe in killing animals, and I was trying all these humane ways, like you set these buckets where they go in and they fall in, and then you take them somewhere, and after I replaced every wire. There was $10,000 of wiring that I had to replace.
Holy
crap.
And
after that, I was like, all right, what's the what's the way I can hurt them the most?
Right? Get the message
across. You want to hurt them and not kill them?
These snap traps aren't hurting them enough. It's it's quick. And I need them to
suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bean's very quiet.
Yes. I'm getting a note from Beer Mug that says that dryer sheets work to keep the rats out of your engines. Have you ever heard that
before? Tried it. They tore up the dryer sheets and made them into nests.
Okay. Wow. All right.
That's less than effective.
I have photos and videos of the rats just like staring at me and laughing. And they're huge. They're like the size of, I'm like, that's not a rat. That's a small dog. Yeah,
size,
that's out of
right.
it. Yeah. Like somebody goes, get a Jack Russell Terrier. They'll kill them. I'm like, no, not these rats. Not these rats. No more Jack Russell.
Your life is a humorous struggle, Eddie. It really is. You're fighting a lot of battles at one time. Yeah, seems like.
It's going to make a good book someday.
I think it will. If you could only find someone to write it. Eddie is going to be at the Brea Improv on Thursday night and then a week from Saturday at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. You can buy tickets for both shows. EddieIf.com. Always so
all
great
right.
to have you
Before
by.
You Thank sign you off, though, we want to do 60 seconds.
That was the
oh,
best
we have that?
That was the best line ever.
I didn't remember. Okay.
We do. 60 seconds with Eddie. So just the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Okay.
And go. If you could, which celebrity would you punch in the face?
Kim Kardashian.
How much money do you have on you right now?
$600.
Have you ever used a fleshlight?
Only to hit somebody with.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to learn about you?
I'm clethrophobic.
What's that?
Fear of being trapped.
What singer or band makes you shake that ass?
Nocco and Medicine for the People.
Would you ever try a banana and mayonnaise sandwich?
Have.
And?
Horrible.
Because Bean loves it. It's one of his favorites.
Are you pregnant, Bean?
No, I just had it my whole life. I enjoy them.
Is there any human being named Chad that's cool?
Chad Zumok.
Is actually
yep.
one.
Yeah,
actually
he's a very cool guy.
What song would you choose if you had to sing karaoke?
To All the Girls I've Loved Before.
What worst town for Eddie Ift comedy?
Worst town?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
That's too bad. All right, Eddie, thanks for coming in. We
thanks for having
it.
Me, guys. I love you.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
I think you guys would agree with me when I say that even if you like 30 Seconds to Mars' records, mm-hmm. you enjoy hearing their music,
yes.
they'll blow you away in person.
Yes.
One of the great live band.
One of the few bands that is actually better than their CD.
And you get a chance to see them along with Walk the Moon. They'll be playing the Forum on July 19th. We've got tickets you can win in about 5 minutes from right now here on K-Rock. And because it's destination number one of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, you are also in the drawing to qualify to see them at Madison Square Garden in New York City, including round trip, airfare, and hotel. 5 minutes. From right now. First, what's happening, Allie?
Remember Jared Leto's cape at Acoustic?
Oh, sure.
Had orange tassels.
It was pretty spectacular.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty
big Jesus beard.
Yeah. Just having cape feelings.
I like that dude.
Yeah. Good dude. We like him.
Good dude.
Good dude. You guys, we talked earlier about how today is tailor-made for Bean. It is World Radio Day. Which anytime he could talk about radio, he's in.
Right.
It's Fat Tuesday, signaling the end of Mardi Gras. So anytime a party ends, Bean is
happy,
thrilled.
Right.
Yeah. I've survived the last 2 weeks, and now it finally comes to an end. I get my neighborhood back.
Absolutely.
Right?
It is also International Pancake Day, not to be confused with National Pancake Day, which is March 4th. But
I mean,
anytime
every day is Pancake Day for
Bean. Yeah. Anytime to celebrate pancakes,
right.
he's
sure.
in.
It's my favorite food.
Absolutely. But when I saw...
Wait. You said toast was your favorite
yeah,
food.
Yeah, you did.
That's my one and two, guys. But you know how it is.
Toast Sometimes or pancakes, you man.
If I could only have one...
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't keep saying it's your favorite food.
I know. I mean, I think...
I want you to answer my question.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I think toast probably gets the edge just barely over pancakes.
That's baloney.
Okay.
It doesn't right. make sense.
All right, I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say this once.
Mm-hmm.
Toast is no one's... favorite food.
100%,
it's so
Kevin.
Good. Because it's against all other food, which is tasty.
Toast is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the right bread, the
sure.
right butter, and the right kind of
good,
right
it's
kind of
no
toasting
one's
equipment.
Favorite.
Toasting equipment.
I'm telling you.
Like a toaster?
That's what they're called, yeah.
Sure.
I've got a toast-making kit, and I'm telling you, it is tremendous.
It's no one's favorite food.
All right, I do love pancakes, mm-hmm. though.
All right. Well, those three things make for a great day, until I saw this news, and I thought, wow, Bean has to throw a party. Did you hear about this big catcher.
Oh, is this the lion?
Yeah. No, I did not hear about this.
Oh, this is so good.
Big cat poacher in Kruger National Park in South Africa was found. He had been eaten by some lions, and by found, just his head.
Oh, man.
The lions left his head next to his hunting rifle and some ammo.
Do you think they arranged it?
Must have.
Perfectly
like,
that way.
That is sinister.
Best believe karma come back. Karma come back.
That's nuts, right?
That is nuts.
Oof.
Look, if you're poaching, you deserve to get eaten by lions.
Agree. That's why I thought, again, unfortunately, we did great news yesterday. That would have been beans for sure. Speaking of great news, Metallica frontman James Hetfield. He's going to be hitting the big screen in a dramatic role. This is happening in the Ted Bundy movie that's coming out called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. Zac Efron, by the way, playing Ted Bundy. I like it. But he is going to be playing a Utah highway patrolman who was the first to arrest the serial killer Ted Bundy.
By the way, I could totally see him as a highway patrolman.
100%. Right?
James is perfect for that.
I love that. He's played himself in some TV and film roles, but never as somebody else and never dramatic. This is huge.
Love it.
I love it as well.
By the way, much like the lions, Ted Bundy used to collect severed heads as well.
All right, some birthdays for you.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
He would decapitate his victims and keep the heads in his apartment.
We understood that from when
you
said it.
Not a good dude.
Correct.
Which is weird, because if you check the tape earlier, you said he was your favorite serial killer. But then you changed it, because you decided you liked John Wayne Gacy. Just a little better.
I backed out of that statement, because I didn't mean favorite. I meant a serial killer who is the most fascinating, who has such an interesting story and had such a long string of murders.
Like a prolific career.
Yeah.
So what you mean by that is favorite?
No. Not in any kind of positive way admiration or anything like that. I'm just saying the most fascinating.
But you
case.
Wouldn't have bought art from any of them.
No. Why would he do that?
That's not the point here, guys.
What
exactly is the John Wayne Gacy art that you own?
Look, we're getting off on a tangent.
Right.
Here.
But like, is it like a landscape? Is it a bunny? What is it?
It's a bunny.
I have two.
One famous for his buddies.
Hold on.
One is a self-portrait, and the other one was one of his Pogo the Clown paintings that he was famous for.
Terrifying.
Yeah, right?
Did you see that serial killer in the news this week?
This is why Bean was forced to leave the state, you people.
I know this isn't Serial Killer Tuesday, but did you see the one, since we're on the topic, in the news this week, the one up in Canada who had been burying all of the bodies in the planters all around Toronto? Did you hear about him?
No.
They found out, they released yesterday, that he had worked as a mall Santa Claus.
Oh, no.
Is that crazy and creepy? And no. He was a mall.
Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
He was a mall Santa at the same time he was a serial killer.
I feel like we wouldn't want to know most mall Santas.
I fear you may be right, especially after reading this article. All right. Topic, you guys. Let's scrub this and start over.
We shall. Happy birthday, Robbie Williams, Henry Rollins, and Mina Suvari. And that's what's happened.
There are a couple of pieces of tape that have been going around this week that we haven't had a chance to spotlight that I both think are worth our time. Ali, refresh my memory. House of Lords in Britain, that's like our U.S. Senate, right? And then the House of Commons is like the House.
Sure.
Why do I feel like you don't have a lot behind that sure?
No.
So it's the fancy senators, and there's a lot of ceremony in places like that.
Yeah, the wigs? They wear the wigs?
I think they do wear the wigs.
The powdery guys.
Yes. I believe they're the powdery guys. So I love this story so much, Kevin, and it's really going to blow your mind, because this is a member of the House of Lords. His name is Michael Bates, and he was scheduled to be part of a discussion last Wednesday at 3 p.m. He was one of the people who was going to be asked questions by a group of other lords on income inequality.
Okay.
Well, he showed up 2 minutes late, which I know just nothing burns your buns more than people who are disrespectful of others in their time.
They're wasting your time.
You hate it when people show up late. What did Michael Bates do when he showed up at the chamber at 3:02 and realized he had already missed the beginning of the meeting?
My lords, with the leave of the House, I wonder if you'd permit me to offer my sincere apologies to Baroness Lister for my discourtesy in not being in my place to answer her question on a very important matter at the beginning of questions. During the 5 years at which it's been my privilege to answer questions from this dispatcher box on behalf of the government, I've always believed that we should offer rise to the highest possible standards of courtesy and respect in responding on behalf of the government to the legitimate questions of the legislature. I'm thoroughly ashamed at not being in my place, and therefore I shall be offering my resignation to the Prime Minister.
Come on.
Listen to the crowd.
Listen, that guy just wants to quit.
He offered his resignation.
He just wanted to quit. There's nobody that's 2 minutes late that goes, I'm going to resign.
He's been in the House of Lords for 5 years, and as you heard at the beginning, he said, look, I take this position very seriously, and I should have been here, and I offer my sincere apologies. And then he went on to offer to resign.
You're cool, and you, I'm out.
That's what he should have said.
The Prime Minister declined his offer to resign.
I mean, honestly, isn't that...
That's like a martyr.
Right.
We get it, dude.
Shut up.
Yeah.
If you want to quit, quit. Otherwise, right? Sit down and let us move on with the meeting.
However, I'm not saying he will be, but the next time Kevin is late, if you don't do that exact same speech...
I remember it right now.
Yes.
Kevin doesn't acknowledge that he's late, by the way.
Define late.
Well, when you walk in after the show begins, just...
I mean, define begins.
All right. So that's thing one. Here's thing two. And, Allie, I know that you saw this one because this was a big Facebook meme in the last few days. I want more information on why this guy started recording his father. But apparently they're having a conversation, and he realizes that his dad doesn't know how old he is.
Oh, right? I've seen this one too.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if it is a little bit of the Alzheimer's? Maybe that's what's happening.
So, but it's cute, sweet.
It's so great. His father thinks that he's 79 years old, and the son
just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
That is not him. But the son thinks, oh, Dad thinks he's only 79. I'm going to roll tape on this because it's going to be really funny when he finds out how old he is.
How old do you think you are?
79.
Higher.
89.
Higher.
89.
Higher
than that.
Yeah.
90?
Higher.
91?
Higher.
2?
By the way, imagine if you're this dad.
Right.
You only know how old you feel. You don't know how old you really are.
Let me think I'm 79.
Yeah. Right.
But imagine how shocking it would be if you think you're 79 and now you're finding out you're something north of 90 and he's still not there yet.
Higher.
3?
Higher.
4?
Higher.
5?
Higher.
6?
Higher.
7.
Higher.
8.
That's it. 98.
Your ass.
By the way, I'm almost, if I'm the son, I almost just let him keep going. Like, how high can I go? 140? 141?
Yes, just keep doing it.
I love his reaction.
98.
Your ass. I am not 98 years old. Holy
That's also my favorite, by the way. What 98-year-old is throwing around holy F, right?
Your ass.
How do you get so old so fast?
Time flies when you're having fun. Oh, you're going to be 99 this summer.
No, am I really?
Yeah.
I was born 1919.
And it's
what is it now?
2018.
All right, so he's doing the math a little bit, and it checks out.
1919. 2018. Next year I'll be 100.
You're going to be 99 this summer, and then next year I'll be 100.
Yeah. Holy f***. Jeez, I'm going to be an old man.
Then.
You know what?
I want him to make it to 100. I want him to have the best birthday party ever.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
By the way, congratulations to David Turner from HB. He won his tickets to 30 Seconds to Mars at the Forum and is qualified for the grand prize drawing to go see them in New York City at Madison Square Garden. That's going to be a pretty good night with Walk the Moon opening up. Your chance to win coming up at noon today here on K-Rock. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Hey, Bean. This movie game night, Have you seen the commercials for it?
Looks awesome.
Looks amazing.
Lamorne Morris is in it. I love him so much.
Yes, as well as Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Jesse Plemons. It's a group of friends that regularly meets for a game night. They're super competitive. And then this one night goes really wrong. And then they have to solve a murder mystery, which they initially think is part of the game night.
Right.
Then they're like, oh, wait a minute.
Someone actually dies.
This
looks great.
It looks so good. Comes out in theaters on February 23rd. But how about if you call in right now at 1-800-520-1067? Callers 20 to 24 are going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Game Night at the TCL Chinese Theater.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too. That happens on...
It's a sale Friday, 10 at noon.
Nope. That happens on February 21st, so call right now.
We have
now.
A winner, believe it or not.
Not yet. Just call now. Oh. Callers 20 through 24. Right now. All right. Wow, the Olympics are doing some incredible numbers.
Are they?
So far. Yeah, and I'm not sure.
How come I'm the only one that I know that's watching them?
I tuned in last night.
You did?
And I think once
you did. Okay.
Once the ratings come in from last night with all the streaming and everything, it's going to be gangbusters. But Sunday night's audience climbed to 26 million people watching with all the venues that were tallied up. But it's up, way up, 6% from 2014 in Sochi. To be up 6%, that's pretty darn huge.
Yeah.
That is, that's
not
bad.
By the way, almost no shows get over 20 million viewers.
No.
Right.
No. That's insane.
They did have snowboarding yesterday and last night.
Yeah.
So maybe that had a lot to do with it. By the way, the final for the men is tonight, Sean Wayne. Yeah.
He's got to do it, right?
Well, he had a 93, which everybody was like, okay, that was the warm-up, so he's got first place.
Right.
Somebody else got a 95 and then a 96, so then he just went and threw out a 98.5.
Qualifying.
Yeah,
insane.
Qualifying.
Insane.
So the final is tonight.
Did you guys see the dude, I don't remember the athlete, who wiped out one of the alpine skiers, I think it was, who wiped out?
No, I did not see that.
Whole body got turned into a pretzel, and he just was going down the mountain, like, you know, in the snow and everything, and then ran into a whole bunch of fences. I mean, it was intense. That alpine skiing is something else.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, we were all having fun, Bean.
Right? We were all enjoying ourselves.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Talking about victory in USA and all that.
A lot of stuff happened.
Did
a guy
die?
No one died.
So many fences.
Why do some people tune out?
Well, congratulations to Daily Show contributor Michelle Wolf. Have you guys seen her stand up, by the way, Michelle Wolf?
I have.
She's got the red hair, very curly red hair.
I don't think I have.
She's been a contributor since 2016. She has a HBO stand up special called Michelle Wolf, Nice Lady. Well, now she has just signed on to host her own weekly Netflix late night series. And she said, you can expect the types of jokes my former bosses would let me tell on TV. But we couldn't. So, I mean, I'm in.
All right.
For that. Excellent. Bean has to be happy about this casting. We were talking all about the greatest American hero coming back, but instead of the curly-haired blonde dude, it was going to be a lady. Well, we now know who the lady is who's going to be walking on air, who never thought she could feel so free, flying away. Go ahead, Kevin.
On a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? It's Hannah Simone, you guys.
Sarah Abramson?
No.
Oh, Hannah Simone.
Hannah Simone.
Love her.
From New Girl.
Love her.
How great is she going to be?
Great.
Bean.
I'm very excited. I think she's adorable and it's great timing. New Girl's just getting ready to end here in a couple of months. She's got time to put on the cape.
So, yeah, whole kind of outfit, but there is a cape as well. I read this story and I thought these are just words that they are throwing together into a story and none of them make sense. But Mary J. Blige has a new role on a Netflix series. It's called Umbrella Academy. Have you heard about this show?
Umbrella Academy, no.
Based on the comic book, right?
Based on the comic
book about a dysfunctional family of superheroes, a.k.a. the Umbrella Academy. These are the superheroes. The Monocle, Space Boy, the Kraken, the Rumor, the Seance, Number 5, The Horror, and White Violin. Mary J. is going to play a ruthless and unorthodox hit woman called Cha-Cha.
What? I don't know, but I'm in.
I love all those names so much.
I'm in.
Oh, she's also, of course, up for a pair of Oscars in the next couple of weeks with the movie Mudbound and the song from Mudbound. So she's living her best life right now, that Mary J. Blige.
Miss Delaney King?
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning, unless you did and I spaced and missed it, that the reason a lot of people are interested in the Umbrella Academy is because it's the comic book that is drawn by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance that he created.
No way!
Yeah.
That's his.
That is fantastic.
A little bit of K-Rock tie-in to that story.
I would say a huge tie-in. Okay.
You knew that when you read it.
Right.
That's why you told us the story.
Yeah. Yay, Gerard Way. So excited for you. That's good stuff. Have you heard about the apologies that had to be done after some people saw Peter Rabbit?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by this.
Yeah, apparently the...
Seemed like an overreaction to me.
Yeah, the human character suffers from a blackberry allergy. So the gang of bunnies gets together and pelts him with blackberries, and he's forced to... shoot himself with an EpiPen to treat his allergic reaction.
That's a giant needle right there. That hurts like a mother.
You did mention your EpiPen situation.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Sorry. My bad.
Well, the charity Kids with Food Allergies Foundation protested the scene in a Facebook post, said food allergy jokes are harmful to our community. So in a joint statement, Sony Pictures and the filmmaker said, we shouldn't have made light, even in a cartoonish slapstick way. It was wrong. We apologize. So
can't people just say, look, it's a pretty serious thing for some of us.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
I mean, there's a gang of bunnies getting together, chucking.
It didn't really happen. They didn't really do it to a person and then film it. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a plot. I mean, you do a lot of things in the plot of a movie. Nobody's suggesting go out and murder somebody, but you see movies all the time where people get shot and killed. Right? I mean, there's because fiction.
Yeah,
exactly.
But then the charity Kids Against Murdering People in Movies Foundation comes out and they're like,
they
please
complain.
Don't.
Yeah,
sure. They hate
that.
Mm.
Got a point. That's why I say I feel like this is a little bit of an overreaction. Maybe take advantage of the opportunity to educate people on how serious food allergies are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the movie may do some positive in that way.
A teachable moment.
Right.
Right.
Hey, that was a funny moment, but you might want to know.
Mm-hmm. But just so you know, Jimmy, don't chuck peanuts at your friend Tommy because he's got a peanut allergy. See? Look what we just did.
I'm not sure we just did much.
We just did that, you guys. Yeah. We totally did it.
And I don't like it that I've been on so many planes lately where you can't have peanuts because of people and their dumb peanut allergies either.
Peanut allergies, they could die pretty quickly from that.
Yeah, just in the air.
Pretty
really not. Yeah. It's not my problem as much as it's their problem.
If they're on your plane, it becomes your problem.
I enjoy peanuts, though.
Right. Have some in the airport.
Oh, Bean, you are a delight. And there's a remake of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in the works.
All right, another
one. Paul King, who directed Paddington and its sequel, Paddington 2. He'll be behind the camera as well. No word on who will play Willy Wonka in the remake, but really, do we? Why?
Yeah,
you should have stopped at Gene Wilder, but then you went ahead and did Johnny Depp, and that's fine for a lot of people, but maybe call it a day. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. All right.
The problem is taking something that's done so brilliantly before and then redoing it. Sort of you can't do it justice.
Mm-mm.
But I'm also going to...
Pick something that failed.
I also want to throw out if that original great thing was 50 years ago.
Yeah, agreed.
At some point, does that character in that script become fair game? And let's not forget that it's also based on a book that's way older than that. So people should never be allowed to reinterpret that book? I think I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Bean rules in its favor.
I do. Right. I will allow it.
I just say Gene Wilder was perfect. And that one still holds up.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the guy doing that role, but if somebody wants to try it, more power to him.
Like Johnny Depp?
Maybe not him.
All right. All of these stars born today, February 13th, Robbie Williams, Henry Rollins, and actress Mina Suvari. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, on your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We've got World Star Wednesday. We have a little band by the name of Muse stopping by. Talk to us about some new music. Very excited about that. And we've got your tickets for 30 Seconds to Mars and Walk the Moon at the Forum tomorrow morning.